It's good to be with you this morning, as always. We're going to be looking at some of what Paul just sang about, thinking about our work, but how we need to continue on in it throughout all of our lives. In Bible class, in the adult Bible class, we've been talking about Abraham and Sarah, and we looked at how old they were and how they were faithful even in their old age. And so you think about that, and as I do many times, I study about the things that are on my mind. We've got a lot of people here, several people here, that have reached that retirement age, that age where we strive for throughout our lives, and you plan and you save and you do all this so you can finally get to that point where you can do what you want to do. But my question this morning for us is that something that we can do? Can we retire as Christians? I think everyone here would say, no, we can't do that. Obviously not. Right in line with what Brian said in his prayer about Ecclesiastes 12, about fearing God and keeping His commandments. That is man's all. You know, that's not just your all until you're 65 or until you're 75 or you decide, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to take my ease. That's something I think we all understand that. Obviously, we're not talking about those who can't work because of physical lack of ability and things like that. But I'm talking about this attitude of, you know what, I can do it, but I'm done with it. I'm going to let other people do the work in the Lord's kingdom. Like I said, I think we all understand this. This is meant to be a lesson, not of accusation against anyone here. This is one that hopefully we can all be encouraged with and think about what are we doing and what can we do better ourselves. This is not something that I'm going to try to refrain from saying old people. Especially after the hole I dug in Bible class. I'm going to try to not dig another one. I'm going to try to say older, because I'm going to excuse some of the very little young ones, but everyone in here is older than someone else is. And so we can be that example, and we can look for ways that we can encourage others who are younger than we are. And so this lesson is for all of us to consider. Over in the 92nd Psalm, I want to use that as our text this morning. So you may want to put your bookmark there if you'd like to reference it throughout the lesson. But just kind of keep it in your mind. But here in the 92nd Psalm, beginning of verse 12, we find a description of those who are righteous. That's what it says here. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The description of those who are righteous here begins with the cedars of Lebanon and the palm trees. You think of those as being big, strong, powerful trees. And so that's what it says. He continues there saying they're flourishing in the work of the Lord and in the courts of God. This is not talking about the young people. Remember, it's talking about those who are older. Those who should still be doing this. But notice verse 14. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. If you're reading in the New King James, it says they shall be fresh and flourishing. That is what the description of an older righteous person is. Not one that's dried up and dead, but one that is still going strong, that has life in it and is doing what it needs to be doing. Something that is keeping the green, not bringing up the gray, if you understand what I'm trying to say there. Again, this suggests that there is plenty of things that the older people can do. Again, that includes those who may even seem younger. I guess nobody ever views themselves as an older person, do they? I'm still 20 years old in my mind, and I'm 37 now. That's 17 years of, where did that go? And so I imagine we all view ourselves as younger, and we wonder where these aches and these cracks and all this start coming from, because it's not my body that's doing that. But we understand that we need to continue to act like we are young people and do that same work. So we're going to look at two different things today. One is how God uses people of all ages in His church, but then also, we're going to begin looking at how God used older people throughout the Bible. So we're going to quickly look at that. The first one I want to look at here is that of Moses and Aaron. You think about Moses and Aaron and all the things that they did in life that we read about. And, well, these got to be some young whippersnappers that can do all this work and can do all this traveling and be so brave and bold to stand before Pharaoh and to lead God's people throughout the land in the wilderness. And this is a young man's game. But as you look at Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7, we see that they were actually older whenever this happened. There in Exodus 7 and 7, Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. This is very interesting, or maybe ironic, if you look at what Moses said himself there in the 90th Psalm in verse 10. He says there, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is out, is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away." So basically what Moses is admitting right here is, you know what? I was older when I even started the most important work that I ever did in my life. I was 80 years old, Aaron 83 years old, but we still went and did the work that God asked us to do. There you can also look at Joshua and Caleb. Understanding what they did, again, after Moses left off, they did a lot of things that were very, showed their faith. You think about Joshua. We know that as he started leading the Israelites through their conquest of Canaan, he did that in the last 30 years of his life. But if you look at Joshua chapter 24, in verse 29, that may be 24 or 25. I've got a discrepancy on my notes and on the slide. It says that he lived until he was 110 years old. And so we know the last 30 years, that means he didn't even start that until he was 80. So here's another one that is older in years, but he's doing all of this work. He's willing to get out there and do that, and God allowed him to do that. When you think about Caleb, he was also in his 80s whenever he did the things that God wanted him to do. Look over at Joshua chapter 14 and notice what he says there. Joshua 14, beginning of verse 6, Caleb says, "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully.' So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke, these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I'm 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day of that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and for coming in." Just because they were older people did not mean that they did not have the zeal to go out and do the work. Now, I'm sure they did not have some of the spryness maybe that they once had at this time in their life. But their mindset of, "I'm going to work. God has done this." And understanding how God fits in their lives and us fulfilling those commandments. They didn't let that their older age keep them from doing the work. When you look at Daniel, I don't know if you're like me, but when I think of Daniel, I think of someone who's a young man. But as you look at this, over in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1, we see that he begins his work there whenever, he worked for about 70 years. Daniel 1 and verse 1, it says that he started his service in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. And if you skip down to verse 21, it says Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. That would have put him at well over 80 years whenever he was finishing up his work here. He was 80 years whenever he was serving as one of the three governors there in the kingdom of Babylon. There in chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3 tell us that. Verses 4 through the rest of chapter 6 talk about how he was that same age whenever he went and fervently prayed, even though the decree was signed that he was not to pray to anyone else, but then he was put into the lion's den. Again, I think of a younger man when that happened. He wasn't a young man. He was well over 80 at this time. But just because he was older didn't mean his zeal and his conviction and all this weakened at all. He was willing to do what was required. You can look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents there in Luke chapter 1, verse 7. It says that they were both well advanced in years. But what do we see them doing? Well, you see Zacharias, he was working in the temple. And then Elizabeth is sitting there raising this child to be one who we know to be such a great worker for the Lord. And preparing the way for Christ to come. That's what she was busy doing in her old age. Older age, whatever. They didn't let the age keep them from doing what they needed to. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. We see two other people. We see Simeon and Anna there. And we see that here in chapter 2, they were those who were elderly. But they were also busy doing the work. They were bearing witness to Christ as he was an infant and coming to the temple to be circumcised. Read with me beginning in verse 25 there in Luke chapter 2. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Basically, he was an older man. Verse 27 continues, "And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.' And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow at the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer. And at that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem.'" So you have two older people here who had a purpose. They weren't at home on their rocking chair. They weren't sitting there taking it easy and doing what they wanted to do. Well, they were doing what they wanted to do. But it wasn't worldly things and I'm done with it. They were busy doing this work. Again, you consider Anna and how long she had served there in the temple. Again, as it says, both day and night. She was busy. She didn't retire from doing any of this work. She wasn't too old to serve God. Then one more I want to look at, and that's Paul in his later years. Turn over to Philemon verses 8 and 9. It's very interesting how he describes himself there. Verses 8 and 9 says, "Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do that which is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus." It's very interesting to hear him refer to himself in that way, the aged one. But again, as you see what he's doing right here, he's in prison. He's writing these letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. He's writing these while he's a prisoner. But what does he do when he's taken out of prison? Well, he's going and visiting Christians. He's encouraging congregations. He's traveling around to do what he could in the Lord's service. That's the same kind of attitude that we need to have today. Regardless of how old we are, we're never too old to serve God. And so that's some encouragement for us. Again, there's many other examples that we can look at in the Bible. Again, to me, this was, you start looking at the ages of these people, it's kind of surprising. I think of them as young people who are able to do this. No, it's older people that are doing that. But they can still bear fruit in their old age like we read there in Psalm 92. So let's spend the rest of our time this morning looking at this. How can God use older people in the church today? Well, quite literally, you think about this, the word elder and older. Quite literally, he needs elders. God designed the local church to have overseers, shepherds, elders. And that should be the desire. People who, men who are older, who are able to do this and willing, capable to teach and to be a good example to those that are younger than they are. Again, you look at words like overseers and shepherd and all of that. Those that are examples. You can look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We're not going to read it this morning, but it talks about what an elder is doing and being busy in this work. It's not a young man's job by definition, but it's a job that older people can do. There's a reason why we need the older ones to be doing this. In Acts chapter 14, verse 23, you see Paul and Barnabas going out and appointing elders in every congregation. There in Titus chapter 1, Paul tells Titus, or says, I'm going to leave you here. And you've got a reason to be here because you need to appoint elders in every church. And it says to put things in order. I would suggest to you that any congregation that does not have elders is not in order as it should be. It should be our desire, everyone here, to have elders, men that are qualified and willing to fill this position. We need elders. And it's not the young guys that are going to be able to do it. It's the older ones that need to be able to do that. But we don't just need elders as far as shepherds. We need just older men in general. Go ahead and turn over to Titus chapter 2. We're going to look at this aspect with the older men as well as the younger, or the older women as well. But you can see some of the things that, even though we don't have elders here at Springs yet, there's something that the older men can be doing. Verse 2, who is it that he tells to be temperate and dignified and sensible and sound in faith and in love and perseverance? It's older men who are to do that. Verse 6 tells us why they are to do that. Likewise, urge the younger men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. The older men are to have these qualifications and these characteristics so they can teach and exemplify these things to the younger men, so that they in turn can have these same qualities and characteristics. We need older men to be able to do that and be willing to do that for those who are younger than we are. Again, we have a great responsibility to do that as older men. I have a responsibility to do that to younger men. And those that are older than me have a responsibility to do that for me and those younger than me. But I think that's one of the great things that I've seen as a shortcoming in the Lord's church throughout my life. There's been times when, you know, age 15 and up, till now even, that I've desired so much to have older men that will help me out, encourage me, show me things that need to be taught. And there are some that have done that. But I've noticed that there's not many that are willing to do that. You look at so many that are doing the work in so many congregations today, it's the young people teaching the Bible classes. There's a big surge in young men that are preaching. And I suggest a lot of that is because there are older men that wouldn't step up and do it. And so we've got to make sure that we are not part of the problem. We are part of the solution. And those that are willing to step up and be what our young men need us to be. As we look at our young people here, we need to make sure that we are encouraging them and being what they need us to be. But let's move on to the older women as well. If you've still got Acts or Titus chapter 2 open, we can see the same instructions are given to the older women. There in verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved in much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. There is a dire need for older women to help the younger women. Again, the same situation that I said about myself can ring true in Michelle's instance as well. I can't speak for everybody here, but I know that desire has been voiced to me in our marriage of, I would like some older women to be there to encourage me and help me answer questions about how to do this. You've been through this situation before. How do you do it? Teach me, help me, guide me. But so too often there was no one there that was willing to do it. And that is not acceptable. I'll just say it that way. Younger people need the older people to help us in these things. How else are we supposed to learn? You know, we were talking in Bible class this morning about how do we know what a marriage is supposed to be like? Because we looked up to those who were older than us. Those who had successful marriages or our parents, because that's what all we saw about it. Well, if we don't see something that's acceptable, how are we supposed to know what to do? And so we need to keep that in mind as we go through this. But it is a very discouraging thing for a young person that can't find guidance and leadership that they are looking for. But unfortunately, just as we see with many men, right at that age when you finally need to step up and be that and fulfill that command from an older woman or an older man, that's when so many say, I'm done. I've seen so many older women through time that are so knowledgeable, but they say, I'm not teaching Bible class anymore. And the same thing with men. Nope. It's a young man's game. They didn't say that, but that's the way it appears. I have the knowledge, I have the ability, but I don't want to do it. I'm too tired. That's not acceptable. We need to be out there and doing the work. You know, we think about retirement at 65 years old, but these people we talked about earlier, they were 80 plus, and they were willing to do the work. We have no excuse not to do that unless we have a specific disability that keeps us from doing that. But until that day comes, we have a responsibility to do that. We can make excuses all day long, but that doesn't do us any good. And it sure doesn't do God any good for those that are supposed to be working for Him. Then the last one I want to look at is that there's always something that we can provide. And I am going to look more towards the older people at this time, not just, I'm going to say the more retirement age kind of people. Older people are more likely to be in a unique situation than the younger people are, as far as, in one instance, financial security. There's possibilities and things that come with that maturity. One of those advantages that can be used, again, whether you have the physical ability to do some things, you may have the physical ability in a financial situation for hospitality and for benevolence, where the younger people may not be in that position yet. We've all had some, or I hope we've all had people over at our house at some point or another. We understand that it's not cheap to have people over to our house. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, food and preparation and all this. It's a lot of work to have people over. We all understand that. Excuse me. There's been times in our life, mine and Michelle's life, when we first got married, that we quite literally could not have people over to our house if we wanted to eat lunch the rest of the year, or the month rather. We couldn't afford it. And you try to do things, but you know, that may be a situation where you may be able to have more availability with hospitality and benevolence than some of the younger people with. You can yield fruit in that manner. Another one is that of edification and evangelism. A lot of times when you are retired, you usually have a little more time. And you can do that, spending time edifying, encouraging, teaching, where sometimes other people don't have as much freedom in that. Studying with other people. Again, that encouragement is something that is so great. A lot of times this is the group that you find sending cards and making calls and things like that. But one of the greatest things that they can do is through prayer. It doesn't matter how disabled or how feeble you are, everybody can pray. Every one of us can pray for someone else. There's all kinds of examples of doing that. Again, as we read there in Luke chapter 2, Anna was busy praying for people. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5, we see this is one of the things that Paul says that true widows will be doing, is praying for one another. Again, I know several people throughout my life in different states and so forth that don't have the ability to do a lot of the physical legwork, but they do have the ability to pray, to encourage. They've got a sound mind, and that is that a lot of good can be done with that. Back in our text, though, in verse 15, there in Psalm 92, it says that those who yield fruit in their old age will also be declaring that the Lord is upright and that He is our rock. We have a great, crucial responsibility, every one of us, to make sure that we are teaching the next generation about the mighty God that we serve. We cannot overlook that. Again, regardless, if you've got a sound mind, you have the ability to do this. I want to read a couple of scriptures before we start tying this up. The first one is the 71st Psalm, Psalm 71. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. But notice what it says about those who are older. Verse 17 of Psalm 71. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare Thy wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare Thy strength to this generation, Thy power to all who are to come. That should be a desire of every one of us today. And the desire of every one of us every day that we wake up and God has given us another day of life. He has given us breath and we should have this same desire. You know what? From my youth until I'm gone, I'm going to declare Your strength to all those other generations that I can. Go up to the 78th Psalm. We see something very similar there. Psalm 78, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Says this, Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from our children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength, and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Notice verse 8. And not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Again, you can see very easily what's going to happen if we decide to take our ease. If we decide to retire and hang it up and let the younger people do it. That's exactly that. The last verse there is going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. What kind of people we are if we decide to hang it up. But no, we need to be those who are teaching. Again, we've got children. We've got grandchildren. Some have great-grandchildren. They are souls that need to hear the Word. And we need to make sure that we are the ones teaching them, not waiting for someone else to do that. I'll tell you a story. Some of you already know it, but our grandmother, who just had the brain surgery there, when they first told her that she was going to have or need to have surgery, that she had brain tumor, her first response was, I'm too old to have surgery. But they said that she stopped for a minute. She said, you know what? I've got grandbabies that need to hear about God's Word. Let's do the surgery. She thought she was too old at first, but when you stop and think about it, you're never too old to teach someone about God. And that's exactly what we're reading there in those two Psalms that we read. We're never too old. Never too old. We may think it, but we've got to get over ourselves, get over our mind, and get busy doing God's work. It may not happen to any of us what we read there at the end of Psalm 78, that we are those stubborn, those wicked people who are not teaching others. Again, but God can use people of all ages. Every one of us, again, from I don't know, Maddie and Katie, I guess you're the two I would take that are youngest and have some idea of what's going on. I wouldn't put Tex in there yet, but you know, from that age, we can start becoming examples. We can start teaching. And if they can do it, we all can do that. So we need to make sure that we're doing that. He can use people who are willing to prepare themselves to serve and are willing to carry that out into actual service. We can retire from our secular jobs, but we better not ever retire from being Christians. I want to end with this this last text there in Philippians chapter 3. A familiar passage to most of us, but thinking about how Paul viewed these things and his example in life. Again, Philippians 3 verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. I hope we have the same attitude that Paul the aged one had. Willing to go forth, not laying back on what we did in the past, but pressing forward and continuing to do the work. As you consider the fruit that you're yielding this morning, I hope that maybe we can see some aspect in our life that we need to work on. Maybe we have taken our ease a little bit more than we should have. Maybe we're taking life in a retirement mindset, but we can't do that spiritually. If you see that in your life, I hope that you'll be willing to make that change. If you need encouragement and prayers of the brethren here to help you with that, we'd be happy to do that. If you're not a child of God this morning, and you see that, you know what, I retired before I even got to work, I hope that you can make that change as well. If you have any need, any desire to do that, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that and become His child, I hope that you will do that, and we'll be happy to help you in that manner this morning. If you have any needs spiritually, won't you come as we stand and sing?
All things are ready. Come to